Our scripture this morning comes from Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm going to ask if you would pray with me. Honey God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. I don't know if you saw this on the news, but I saw this. There was a man who shoplifted a calendar on New Year's Day. Not everyone starts the new year off right, do they? But I want us to start the new year off right. And in order to do that, here's the thing that I want us to focus on. I want us to get stress out. Get stress out. Now, let me be clear. When I say get stress out, I'm not saying get stressed out, right? We got plenty of practice in doing that. I'm talking about get stress out of there, like get rid of the old and bring in the new. So let me admit this. I'm preaching to you today, not from my strength, not from my ability, but from my weakness and my inability, because there have been times, boy, and recent times, when I have really been stressed out. Anybody willing to admit that you've been there alongside with me? Anybody been, oh my goodness. If you take a look, keep your hands up just for a second here. Look around. Oh my goodness. So this is a relevant message for us today. This is a word that maybe a couple of us need to hear. Well, I just want to share some of my background and what brings me to talk about this. On Sunday, December 29th, the boiler here at the church stopped working. The gas ovens stopped working. The garbage disposal stopped working. The ice machine stopped working. And there was a water leak in the conference room. And we had 22 kids spending the night at a church lock-in. I felt like Popeye the Sailor Man, you know? I've had alls I can haves, and I can't haves no more, right? I can't take any more at all. The only people more stressed out were Mark Crittenden and Bob Butler, the trustees, who had to fix it all while I went on vacation. You might not have to deal with busted pipes and messed up furnaces, but I'm certain that there are things that you probably have been dealing with that you feel like you've had it up to here. Young people, you are a stressed out generation. You have to worry about things that I never even thought about worrying about. I never thought once about school shootings. I never thought one time about drugs being in schools. You have to worry about making grades. You have to worry about how your face looks and how your Facebook looks, right? You have to worry about, can I get into college? Can I get a loan to get into college? Can I get a job to pay for the loan that I used to get into college? And adults, you're stuck in the middle. You're taking care of your kids often as you're also taking care of your aging parents. You're struggling with your own marriages and you're worried about your kids' marriages. Maybe you've just gotten rid of your kids and now here you are back with grandkids. Maybe it feels like you've had it up to here. Older people, you've had to deal with sometimes not feeling your absolute best. Dealing with a society in which people would rather talk to machines than to one another. And where all of a sudden, your opinion doesn't matter or carry the same weight it used to. Where your friends are dying and you're losing your independence. And you've had it up to here. And you feel stressed out. But I have a word for all of us who had our hands up when we said that we've experienced that stress. And my word for you today is this: be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for what? Be anxious for what? Now, I know you, because I'm thinking the same thing. Is it even possible to be anxious for nothing? I mean, how could we possibly be anxious for absolutely nothing? Someone would raise their hand and say, "Pastor, if I was rich enough, I could be anxious for nothing." Someone would say, "If I was powerful enough, I could be anxious for nothing. If I was beautiful enough, then certainly I would be anxious for nothing." And yet I bet if we polled the richest, the most powerful, and the most beautiful people, we would be shocked, or maybe not, to find out that they have just as much, if not more, stress and anxiety than we do. This week, one of the top news stories was that the rich, the powerful, and the beautiful Prince Harry and Princess Meghan announced that they were stepping back from their royal duties. Why? They had up to here. It's all I can take. People talking about us. Expectations. It's more than I can handle. I feel like pulling my hair out. And they're stressed out. Maybe someone would even raise their hand and say, "You know what, Pastor? If I was religious enough, I could be anxious for nothing." I want to remind you of a story in the Old Testament. There's a prophet whose name is Elijah. Elijah is a very religious prophet in the Old Testament. And I want to remind you a little bit of the story of Elijah. Elijah went and spoke against a very powerful king, King Ahab. And he talked about the king's sins and he confronted him, and the king didn't like it. And so the king brings the full force of his army against Elijah. And God protects Elijah. For 3 years, God protects him, and God feeds him manna, and God feeds him with the ravens that come to look about him. It's a great story about God's provision and about Elijah's faith. At one point, Elijah stood down 850 false prophets. One man against 850. He's victorious because God is with him. God shows his power, God shows his faithfulness, and God shows his strength. And then one mean woman shows up, and Elijah loses it all. See, there's King Ahab, and King Ahab was a bad man, but he had a wife who was even worse. She was so bad that we don't even use her name anymore unless we're trying to insult somebody. You know what her name was? Frank Huber. I'm sorry. Her name was Jezebel. I'm sorry, Frank Huber. I don't know why I said that. Her name was Jezebel, right? And Jezebel came on the scene and said to her husband, "If you can't do the job right, let me show you how to do it." She threatens Elijah, and Elijah completely falls apart. He spirals into deep depression and anxiety. And here's what the scripture lesson says. It says, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." You've had it. You're done. Then he was afraid, and he rose, and he went for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he went himself a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." Elijah is so stressed out, so anxious, he just wants to die. "Lord, just take me now, because this evil woman's coming after me. She's going to hurt me. She's going to kill me." And we ask the question, how does this religious man, this prophet who God has been with over and over and over again, get so stressed out? Well, I think he makes four mistakes. And I want to point out those mistakes, not to wag a finger at him, but to give a reflection on our own selves and to say, what can we be looking at, what we can be working on around in our own lives? And the first mistake I think he made was this. He ran himself into the ground. Can you say that with me? He ran himself into the ground. And maybe this is your experience as well, too. Elijah literally, not figuratively, ran himself to the ground. He ran all the way to a place that was more than 100 miles away. And then once he got to that place, he then journeyed for another day. So it wasn't just, okay, today's, I've just had it up to here, but it was also yesterday and the day before that and the day before that. And before we know it, without a break, all we're doing is piling more and more on ourselves. And sometimes we can get so stressed out because we've got no break. There's no margins. Every single moment of our lives is being consumed and filled. Here's the second mistake I think he makes. He shut people out. Elijah left his servant. He said to his trusted friend, I don't need you anymore. And he went off on his own. And I think that's what we do sometimes. The more we get stressed out, the more we shut other people out. We stop answering the phone. We stop calling our friends. We stop going to church. We stop talking to our family. But here's one of the things I believe. I believe that people need people. Can you say that with me? People need people. People. God made us to help one another. Actually, when God made Eve or Adam, he said, is your helpmate. We are here to help one another. And one of the greatest gifts that you have ever been given is a friend. And one of the greatest gifts that you can ever give is to be a friend to somebody else. I think that's why our spiritual groups are so important. And I want to put a challenge out to you. If you've never been to our Saturday Bible study and breakfast, I'm putting a challenge out. I'm giving you an invitation, okay? We have a Saturday breakfast and Bible study, and I'm telling you what, you have not had biscuits and gravy until you come to Saturday's breakfast and Bible study, right? Because you will have biscuits and gravy every single Saturday. No. We love you, Jerry, but let's get something new with that. We need each other, and he shut people out. I just want to do just a tiny bit of a segue here. Maybe you've seen in the news something about the United Methodist Church. And maybe you've heard that there's a possibility of a denominational split and the decisions being made. And I know that there's been some anxiety, there's been some stress about what's going to happen to us. Let me just share at this point that one of the things I think is so important is we will not shut people out. Let me just share with you one of thank you so much for. And when I say we will not shut people out, I mean that sometimes our actions shut people out before we ever get to the point of making decisions. I got a chance to speak with a journey class today, and I said, I don't know. I don't have the authority. I don't know everything that's going on. But I do know this. The day after the vote, the work of Lawrence United Methodist Church will continue. There will still be a need to reach out to our community with love. There will still be a need to teach people about the love of Jesus Christ and share and use our gifts. So that's what we are going to do. And sometimes the way we shut people out is if we put ourselves in camps before there's even a decision to be made. So let me just encourage you that as we talk about it, so as not to stress ourselves out and to shut other people out, let's not make ultimatums like, you know, unless it goes this way, I'm gone. Or unless they do this way, I'm gone. Because we have the capacity of being a congregation that is able to withhold and hold within ourselves differences. Take a gander. Just look around at the people that are gathered here just for a moment. We are a mixture. We are a lot of differences. We have the capacity to be a congregation that beforehand people thought, oh, you know, there's no way that there could be a culturally mixed congregation or the different things that might hold us apart. You might be able to find that even though we don't agree on some things, that we are able, Republican, Democrat, black, white, Hispanic, whatever. We have the capacity to live and to love together. And so I just want to share that with you, that as we're in this process, one of the things that Elijah did was he shut people out. And one of the things we don't want to do is shut each other out by forming such strong camps while we're still in this time of discernment. Let me go on. I think mistake number three is that he focused on the negative. He says this, I'm no better than my forefathers. I'm no better than my ancestors. And often that's what we do. We focus on, oh, you know what? I haven't really made any improvements in my life. My life is so hard. I'll never get it all done. There's too much. I can't stand the people that I'm around. I don't like my job. I don't like this. I hate this. Ah. And all we're doing is focusing on the negative over and over again. Some people have a gift of being able to be positive and focusing on the positive no matter what happens. A teacher asked Little Johnny, you've got 10 fingers. Little Johnny, if I take away 4 fingers, what do you got? Little Johnny said, no more piano lessons. Elijah focused on the negative. Have you ever heard of a self-fulfilling prophecy? That's if you tell yourself over and over again, you're no good. Or if you tell a child over and over again, you're no good, then guess what? They will prove you right. Here's mistake number 4, the final one I want to share. He forgot God. And that part's the crazy part, because all throughout his experience, God's power, God's strength, God's presence was with him. And yet he forgot. And what makes it even more interesting is that the name Elijah should have reminded him of God. The name Elijah is taken from two names. It's a combination of Elohim, which means God, and Jehovah. And so literally his name is my God is Jehovah. My God is Jehovah. My God is Jehovah. My God is my source. My God is my strength. My God is my shield. My God is my rock. My God is with me. My God is in my breath. Well, guess what your name is? Your name is Christian. And you're Christ-like, and Christ is with you. And Christ is in you, and Christ strengthens you. So what does God do when this religious man falls apart and forgets all of these things and does everything else and the anxiety builds up? Does God say, oh, ye of little faith? Does God say, how could you even forget your name? It's not what God does. What God does is that God meets Elijah in the midst of his needs. Let me read from you 1 Kings 19, verse 11 and 12. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And the Lord was in the gentle whisper. Elijah had an experience where the earth shook, but the Lord was not in the earth. The wind howled, but the Lord was not in the wind. The fire raged, but the Lord was not in the fire. Earth, wind, and fire. Just a little something for you older folks, okay? God was not there. He was there in the gentle breeze, in the gentle breath. Bear with me just for a moment. I want to do something. I'm going to ask if my wife would come up here just for a moment. We planned this all out beforehand, so. Do you guys mind giving a clap for Miss Sharon? She puts up with a whole lot and I'm talking about me. Well, I want to do an example here. Let's say Sharon is stressed out. Let's say she's got a lot of anxiety. Ooh, man, loosen your shoulders here, okay? So she's stressed out.
If I'm right here with her, and we're remembering that God speaks in the not extraordinary, but in the ordinary sometimes. We're wondering, why is it that God wasn't in the loud and in the booming? Why did God speak in the gentle wind? Why was God a whisper with her? I think that the answer is because God's presence is right here and near. See, watch this. I love you.
Am I supposed to respond?
No. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am your rock and your strength and your shield, and you are love. God can whisper because God is near. Now, Satan, he'll shout and he'll boom his accusations. You're no good. You'll never be any good. You'll never make it. But God whispers because he is right with us. God whispers because he is with us. Emmanuel. God whispers because we are not alone. And in the midst of our times of feeling as if we're inadequate and that we don't have enough, I've got a word of encouragement for you. And here's what I want to share with you. My effort plus God's presence is, can you say that with me? My effort plus God's presence is enough. Now work with me. God's presence alone is enough, but God chooses to work in us and through us. We are privileged to work towards God's will. My effort alone is not enough. And so therefore, I don't have to get stressed out or anxious or feel like it's all up to me, but my effort plus God's presence is enough. Now, does that mean that I'm always going to win? That I'm always going to be victorious? I don't think so. Our success does not come from our own victory. Our success comes from our efforts to faithfully follow. The success, the increase, the honor, and the glory all belong to God. When I think about Elijah's story, I think that the ending part is kind of funny because Elijah's greatest anxiety, his greatest stress is that Jezebel is after him and that she's going to kill him. And so he's all worked up and stressed out. But if you look at the end of Elijah's story, does anybody remember what happens? God sends something down for him. Anybody remember what it is? A chariot of what? A chariot of fire. And a chariot of fire, I mean, you know, this would be a great movie, I could just see it now here, right? A chariot fire, and it's almost like Cinderella, you know, where they open up the chariot for him, and he comes and he gets on board, and it takes him directly to heaven, and he does not die like the rest of us die. And then ultimately, when you think about it, the very thing that Elijah was stressed out about, that he was anxious about, that he was worried about, never happened. He never died. So you could say that he was anxious for nothing. And you know what? The vast amount of things that we get all anxious and worked up about, a lot of times it never even happens, right? Here we all are. We're so uptight and so upset and, you know, what's going to happen and we don't know. And oftentimes it doesn't even happen. Or if it does happen, it's not as bad as we thought. And even when it does happen and it's as bad or even worse than we thought, then guess what? My God's grace is sufficient. My effort plus God's presence is enough. I can't fix the situation. I can just do what I can do. I can be here and I can make a stand and I can say I will be here. And I don't care what everybody else votes and says, I will be here and we are the church. And this community needs a church more than a denomination. God needs his church more than God just needs a denomination. And when we hold on to that faith, I believe that we can say the words that Paul said. Even when Paul was chained up to a Roman guard and had no idea of what his future would be, Paul says this, and can you read it with me? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I don't know if you saw this, but there was a man who shoplifted a calendar on New Year's Day. You know what he got? 12 months. At the beginning of this new year, I can't promise you 12 months. I can't even promise you today. But one thing that I can promise is that God is with you. And your effort plus God's presence is enough. Amen.